There are some seasons that just go one after the other. Spring turns to summer, turns to fall, eventually turns to winter. They come in a rotation. They come one after the other. And the writer of Ecclesiastes was saying, the seasons just don't happen. Seasons are part of life. Unfortunately, you can't stay in the summer season. There is coming a fall season. There is coming a winter season. And there are many kinds of seasons. There's some seasons that we can affect, and there's some seasons we can't have no control of. When we are born, we're in a growth season. We start off as a baby. Then we get to a child. Then we get to our teenage seasons. And we go through different life experiences. Then we go to our midlife seasons. And then finally, we end up in our senior season. Those seasons, we can't stop from happening. We can't stay as a child. Paul said, when I was a child, I taught as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. There's some seasons you can't stop. There are some seasons, though, that you can change. You can shorten. We go through these seasons. There are financial seasons, you know, where you're just getting blessed and things are just going well for you. But then there are, you go into a fall season where things start to get tight. There becomes hardship. There are financial winter seasons. There are these seasons. But the one thing about a season that you know is that it will not last. There will come an end to your season. Amen. Many times we don't see the reason for seasons. We wish we could always just stay in summer season. But the scripture here in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There is a reason why you go through certain seasons. There is a reason why you're going to have to go through some growth, some times of fallowness, some times where you don't grow, where you just have to hoard resources and just try and survive. But here, what I'm telling you is that God can bring a good purpose even in your winter season, even in your fall season when you're losing the leaves, when the sap is starting to drain out, when the branches are starting to get brittle. God can bring a good purpose even in those times. In Sunday school, I mentioned the prophet Elijah. And I almost kind of preached my message, but I'm going to preach it for those who weren't here. Amen. Amen. In 1 Kings 19:2, we see that the prophet Elijah was moving from one season into another. But it was so unexpected for him. He had just done a great miracle. He had challenged Israel and said, listen, we're going to set up a test to see who is the real God. And if God comes and burns up the sacrifice, he is the God that you should serve. And you probably all know the story how the prophets of Baal, 400 of them, gathered round their sacrifice and they screamed and they shouted and they beat themselves and they cut themselves and nothing happened. And then Elijah came and he just prayed a short, simple prayer. And the power of God, the fire of God, fell down and burned up the sacrifice. You know, in his heart, Elijah thought, this is it. Israel is going to repent. There's going to be a great revival. Things are going to change. This is going to be the season of my victory. This is going to be the what I've been working for. This is why God called me to be a prophet. But you know, it wasn't that season that he went into. And he got so depressed. Yesterday, we were at a minister's meeting, and the ministers were sharing some of their struggles. And Brother Putnam, who is the superintendent, he's preached here many times. He relayed how he went into, he said, 6 months of depression, right, Brother Tony? He said because he was pastoring a church in Germany, which was a military church. And because it was on a base, he could never keep any families. They just came, stayed for a year or two, and then left. And he said every time he took a family to the airport, a part of his heart went with him. And he said he got into such a deep depression about this, like, what am I doing? Am I making a difference? He never ever got to see much of a change because they were just there temporarily. And he got into such a deep depression. I can imagine this is what happened to Elijah. He had gotten one of the greatest miracles. Fire came down from heaven. It's when you're at your strongest, you got to watch out for Satan. Because he is wanting to come and end your season. Amen. And Elijah was so upset, so depressed, because instead of a revival, there was a withdrawal. Nobody kept their word. They said, if we saw this happen, we would declare Jehovah to be God. But instead, there was no change. And in fact, things went from bad to worse. His life was threatened by Jezebel. In 1 Kings 19:2, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. She said, I'm going to get you killed. I'm going to send someone to kill you by tomorrow. You know, after coming out a season of victory, that's when the devil will want to kill you. He will want to destroy you. He'll want to take away your joy. Just when you just had some of your greatest victories, that's when he will want to change your season and to take away God's victory. Elijah could not understand this. This was supposed to be the moment when all Israel repented. He was so depressed. Brother Putnam said he was so depressed. He said he went through 6 months. He said when he got behind the altar, God had mercy and he was able to have liberty. But as soon as he got off the behind the podium, he would go back into his depression and wondering, you know, preachers go through things too. Amen. And I could really understand what he was saying. Because the devil will come to you and say, are you doing anything? Are you actually making a difference? Are you making anything better? And he said he kept through this depression for about 6 months. He said it was so bad. He was thinking thoughts of, why don't you just give up? Why don't you quit? And he said he had a visiting minister come. A visiting minister came. And they were talking about what is success by God's standard. You know, success by some of our standards is 500 people in a church. Success by men's standard is how many people did you baptize? Success by men's standard is all about numbers. But he got to thinking, what does God view success as? See, Elijah thought success would be changing all of Israel and they having a great revival. But what he didn't realize, he was in a season of transition. He was going from a season of victory into a season of depression. And you will see in the story that he took his servant and they came to a town, and then he left his servant there in Judah, and then he went out into the desert. And you know this story. He went and sat under a juniper tree and he just said, Lord, I've had it. Just take me now. Kill me now, Lord. You ever had those moments when you just want the Lord to end it? You see, he had moved from a season of victory into a season of depression. Instead of the great miracle of Israel repenting, it was still the same. In fact, it was worse. Now they were trying to kill him. He was trying to kill him. He went into a season of despair and he ran for his life. In 1 Kings 19:23, and I want you to read this really carefully, and you notice something. And when he saw what Jezebel had said, he arose and went for his life. The great prophet who, before that, when Ahab had sent soldiers, he said, listen, if I'm a prophet of God, let fire come down and smite you. This time he was so depressed. He had given up on Israel, was the truth. He had given up on Israel. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba. Now, you know, the Bible never puts anything in the Bible by chance. Beersheba was the place where Abraham had made the covenant with God. In fact, Beer means well and Sheba means seven. There were seven oaths, seven promises. Those in Sunday school know what I'm talking about. There were seven promises that God gave to Abraham. He gave it at this well. And you know where Beersheba is? It's in Judah. What does Judah mean? Praise. But he had gotten into such a state of depression that instead of being at the place where God had given him the promise, given his father the promise, where he was the heir of the promise, he left his servant there in the land of praise and went out into the desert to die. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough now, O Lord. Just take my life. I am not better than my father's. You see, he had missed something of the name of the place where he left his servant. And the tribe where he was. He had forgotten that Beersheba meant the place where God had made a covenant with his people. God has made a covenant that he's going to take you through every season, whether it be summer, winter, spring, or fall. He has made a covenant with Abraham that in blessing you, you shall be blessed, your name shall be great, and that I am going to bless your seed. Elijah had given up on Israel. He just said, Lord, there's nobody. I mean, look at after what you did. Look what they're doing now. You might as well just kill me, because I'm no better than them, because I've preached, I've called your word. They've seen your mighty miracles. But he wanted to die. He went from triumph to a season of depression and despair. You know the devil will do that to you. He'll look to pull the carpet right under you. You just left church and you're on a high note. Someone will call you. Someone will drop a word in your ear to just take away your joy, to just crush your spirit. You see, Satan wants you to forget the promises, the covenant that God has made. He made an unconditional promise. He told Abraham, I swear by myself. Abraham, it's not on you. This one's not on you. But I swear by myself. When God makes a promise like that, we have to remember it. No matter what season of struggle we're going in, no matter what area of depression, that you have to remember that God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. But we are going to go sometimes to a season of despair and trouble. You know, actually, if you think about it, I picked Elijah. But you can pick any Bible character you want. You will see they went through some seasons. Churches go through seasons. I've lived long enough and been in church all my life to know churches go through seasons. It's no different. You know, we think it's strange. 1 Peter 4:12. Think it strange concerning the fiery trial, the season that you're going in. Why do you think it's strange? To try you as though some strange. Because, listen, we know what's going to happen after summer, right? We're going to know the seasons are going to change. You're not expecting to stay in summer for the next 2 years, are you? Oh, no. You know what's going to happen. You don't think it's strange. You may not like it, but you don't think it's strange when the leaves start to fall. You don't think it's strange when you wake up and it's cold. You got to now put on something. Because you know it's a change of season. Yet when it comes to spiritual things, the Bible says we think it's strange. What? Winter is coming? How about that? That's so strange. You understand that despite what we're going through, God has promised us some things. In John 16:33, before we go to that, let me go back a little bit. Now, because you know it's winter is coming, if you are wise, what do? That's right. That's right. You start looking at the windows of your house and you start, I better fix that crack because winter's coming. I better fix this door because it's letting in a draft. You know winter's coming, so you prepare. Spiritually, when you know you're going to go through a season of testing, you get ready. You armor up. You start to repair the breaches. You start to fix the cracks in your spiritual house because winter is coming. There is going to be an end to your season. That's what you do if you're smart, right? You go around your house and you say, I let that go all summer. It didn't matter, but winter is coming. See, Jesus warned us that the seasons would change. In John 16:33, he said, these things I have spoken unto you that you might have peace. How can I have peace when winter's coming? Because I believe in him. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. There is going to be the next jerk that comes and tries to take away your peace. There are going to be situations that are fiery trials. There are going to be temptations. There are going to be trials. There is going to be a winter season. But you can be of good cheer. You know what you do in a winter season? You go light the fireplace. Those of you that have a fireplace, I have a fake fireplace, but it looks like a real fireplace. And it puts out a flame. You know what I do? I go turn it on. I make myself some hot chocolate, and I sit by the fire. And you know what I'm doing? I'm being of good cheer. I'm being of good cheer. See, your season, whatever it is going to end. We need to understand and prepare for that. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. You're not going to find peace. People keep searching for things that make them happy. They're not going to find it. I tell you what, you're not going to find it. In Sunday school, I taught about the prodigal son. There was something he knew about the father, else he would not even have gone back. He knew that there was still some mercy, some grace. He had sought it out in the world. He had wasted the father's inheritance. But he still believed somehow that the father had some grace, some mercy. Else he would have said, no, I'm not going back because he's not going to forgive me. But he knew the father's heart. In Jesus, you can have peace even when the world is going crazy. In this world, there's going to be winter seasons because that is what God has ordained. Jesus, though, is saying, be of good cheer. He has overcome the seasons. Let me say that again. He overcame his seasons. You don't think he went through a childhood season, a teenage season? I don't know. Teenagers think they're the only ones going through what they're going through. Now that I've gotten old, I realize you all go through it. I went through it too. You're going to go through the season. You're going to go through your season. It's nothing special. It's just your season. Sometimes as the year progresses, the reason for the seasons, of course, is because the planet is tilted. Did you know that? It's tilted at 23 degrees. So sometimes as it goes around the sun, we're closer to the sun. We have summer. Sometimes we're further from the sun. We have winter. It's because we're tilted, we go through seasons. Did you know that? Because we don't stand up straight, we go through seasons. There is coming a time when the seasons are going to end. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the seasons. And if we're in him, we will have peace. It was because of God's promises to Abraham, despite the seasons he went through, where twice he almost lost his wife. If you read the story, he had peace. The Bible said, because he believed God, God declared him righteous. I didn't really finish Brother Putnam's story. I'm going to tell you the end of the story. For 6 months, he said he went through some depression because he felt he was a failure. And then he had a preacher come and was talking about what God counted as success. And after thinking about this, he said he woke up the next morning, he was shaving in the bathroom, and the Lord just spoke to him directly. He said, you know what the problem with Elijah was and the problem with a lot of pastors is that we take it personally. If we don't see something happening, it's our fault. But it's God's kingdom. Amen. The same thing in your life. Some things are beyond your control. You have to understand which seasons are not in your control. Amen. See, they didn't respond to this great miracle, and Elijah took it personally. He felt like a failure. Have you tried to do some things and it never worked out and you just took it personally? And you feel that God is not blessing you? Brother Putnam said he was in front of the mirror shaving and God just spoke a word into his heart. Just spoke a word into his heart. And in 1 Samuel 8:7, I can imagine that's how Samuel felt. He had been the prophet that God had chosen. God was still speaking. The people knew that, but they said, you know what? We would like a king. You're just a bit too holy roller. We would like ourselves a king. I can imagine how hurt Samuel was. Because he was the one that God spoke to. 1 Samuel 8:7, the Lord said to Samuel, listen, Samuel, don't take it personally. Don't take it personally. Hearken, listen to their voice. Give them what they want. Because it's not you they have rejected. It's not you. It's me they have rejected. That I should not reign over them. You see, Elijah took it personally. He thought it was his fault that Israel had not repented because he had preached and ministered and had miracles. So Brother Putnam was standing in front of the mirror and he said the Lord spoke to him and gave him a certain scripture. In fact, before I answer that, I'm going to string this out. I'm going to give you what the Lord spoke. But I just want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8. Do you understand that Paul went through a season? And we don't even get it in the King James. You really need to read a modern translation to really understand how he got to the point where he too wanted to die. He said, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble. Paul, the great apostle, the one that was used by God, the one that God spoke to directly, personally commissioned, he had trouble. Can you believe it? So what about you and me? You think we're going to have trouble? Think the devil is so scared of us that he won't kind try and bring us through a season of winter? He said, look, we came to Asia, we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. You read it in the modern translation, you'll see what they really are saying is, I really wanted to die. I was just waiting for God to take me. He said, we had this sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves. What God is saying when you go through your winter season, listen, you can't make it anyway. That's what Paul came to realize in going through the winter season. The only way you make it is if God is your refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Paul put it so poetically, said, we had this sentence of death in ourselves. So the reason why he believes he went through that is so that he could not rely upon himself. He couldn't get out of this situation. So that we had to rely on God to raise us back out from this depth of depression, this time of trial and pressure. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. This is the key. This is how you get out of depression. You have to have a promise in your heart. You have to believe that no matter what season you're going through, God can bring you into a new season. There are so many things that we can't control. We can't control what other people say. Right? There's some seasons we cannot control. We can't control the earthly seasons. Bible says as night follows day, there's going to be winter and summer. There are going to be seasons for now. We can't control the growth season. We're going to go from a baby to a teenager. You can't stop yourself aging. You can do the plastic surgery, the hair dye. But you are going to get aged. You are going to start to, you're going to age. We are going to experience some things. When you get to a certain age, you'll be able to tell you can't quite do what you used to do. There's some seasons we cannot control. But there are some seasons of doubt and despair that we can get out of. You have to recognize your season. How do we change the season that we're in? How do we get up mentally? And the key is you'll find you have to arise. In 1 Kings 19:5, after he was under the tree, the angel said, get up. What God is telling many of us is get up. Stop wallowing in your misery. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know I love you? Don't you know that I'm here to end your season of despair and doubt and fear? Get up. Get up, Elijah. Arise and eat. That's the key. It was the key to the prodigal son. He said, you know what? I shall arise and go to my father. At the worst I can be is a servant. That's the worst I could be. You see, it's time for us to get out of our funk and of our season of despair, our season of wallowing, our season of Lord, kill me. No, that's not what we were called for. That's not what he saved us for. He's here to end your season. If your season can be changed, God can change it. Amen. He is the maker of the springtime and the harvest, the fall and the winter. He is the Lord of the harvest. He can change your season. See, sometimes we condemn ourselves and we don't let God into our lives to bless us, to heal us, to resurrect us. You see, God is not expecting us to change the seasons. No, we can't do that. But God can change the seasons. Because he loves you. All you have to do is love him back. Trust his word. And then act on that belief. So, back to Brother Putnam. He was standing there in front of the mirror. And he had been in this 6 month season of depression. And he said the Lord just gave a scripture to him. Because he was looking at his church and saying, you know, man, we're not baptizing. People are coming and going and there's no stability. And he was taking it himself. And then he said this scripture came into his heart. Micah chapter 6 verse 8. And if you read it, says, it's really asking, what does God expect of us? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. That's all God wants from you. Just do those things. He's not expecting you to heal the sick. He's the one that heals the sick. He's not expecting you to raise the dead. He is the one that's going to raise the dead. We cannot save anybody, but we can do this. We can do justly, we can love mercy, and we can walk humbly before God. And he said that scripture released him from that depression because it took the burden of what he felt God was requiring him to do. All God is wanting you to do is to love him, trust him, and obey him. It's as simple as that. You could stand with me. This is a short message. Now, I call this the end of seasons. Because there is coming a time when God is going to stop the seasons. And we'll just be in his season. And that's found many places in the Bible, but I'm just going to read one for you. I call this the end of... So whatever season of despair, of doubt you're going through, God is going to end that season. In Isaiah 60 verse 18, God is describing a future event. And he says, there's coming a time whence violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day. You know what that's saying? No more seasons. Neither for brightness shall the moon give the light. You know why? Because the Lord himself is going to be the light, in which there is no change or variableness. In other words, the seasons of winter, fall, and summer will be finished. You will only be in his season. That's the end of the seasons. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall the moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be in thine everlasting. Let's say it together, everlasting. One more time, everlasting. Say it one more time, everlasting. And the days of thy mourning shall be ended. You like that? And the days of your mourning season shall be ended. You know what? It's the sun and the moon that gives all the seasons. God is saying there's coming a time where I am going to be your light. I shall be your everlasting light. There's no going to be no more seasons of winter, no more seasons of mourning, no more seasons of despair, no more seasons of sickness, no more seasons of financial worry. Because I'm going to be your light. That's what the scripture says. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light. And the days of thy mourning shall be ended. That's what the scripture says. That's the prophecy. That's the prophecy. In Revelation, it brings it out even more. Revelation 21, 33. And the city has no need of sun or moon. Mean no more seasons to shine on it. Because the glory of God. The glory of God. And you know what the Bible says about God? There is no variableness or shadow of turning. That means the seasons that we've been going through will be ended. Ended. Revelation 22:5 says, there shall be no more night in that city. And they shall have no need for the light, the lamp, or of the sun. For the Lord himself shall be the light. I always wondered why that was, but God revealed it to me. It's because when you have the sun and moon, you got these seasons we got to go through. Seasons of stress, doubt, despair. But he's going to end it. But the Bible says in the evening it shall be light. I'm closing this service, but I just want to encourage you. Believe, obey, and then receive. In him, you can have peace. Right now, we have some seasons we've got to deal with. But he has warned us how to do that. Go patch your spiritual house. Go fix the broken windows. You know winter's coming. Go find some prayer words. Fix up your holes in your house. Go stoke up your spiritual fire. Turn it up. I do. I go make myself some hot chocolate. Go sit by that fire. See, in Jesus, you can have cheer. You can be of good cheer. In the world, you will have tribulation. But there's coming a day when he says he's going to put an end to all the seasons. He is going to fix it once and for all because he shall be the light. I'm closing. I'm not going to preach now. You're standing. You see, all God is looking for you is for you to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. See, that's all you need to do. If you do that, he'll do the rest. He'll do the rest. He'll do what we can't do. He will end your season of despair and doubt. I'm closing. This altar is open. If you want to come and pray, that's fine. If you want to pray where you are, that's fine. God is looking at your heart. That's what he's doing. I encourage you, get some spiritual words to fix your house so that you can get through the winter season, that you can be ready to deal with the storms of life. Hold on to the promises. You see, do you notice that God tells us exactly where Elijah was before he headed out the desert? He was at the place where God had made sevenfold promise to Abraham in the land of praise. He went right out into the desert and said, God, just kill me. He forgot the promises that God had made. And in the New Testament, you'll see that Paul is speaking about Elijah. We covered that in the Sunday school. And he was really saying, Lord, Israel is hopeless. You might as well kill us all. And God told him, no, I have made a promise to my friend Abraham. And I have yet 7,000 in this city. Who knows how many thousand are still yet to be saved. We need to come out of our season and do what God has asked us to do. Hallelujah. We're going to close this service, not close God's presence. But he can end your season of despair and doubt. And he can be the light that never changes. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. If you want prayer and you want to come forward, that's fine. If you want to stay right there and raise your hand. But we need to do something today. Don't leave here without doing something today. We need to acknowledge God and that he can come and change our season. Hallelujah. Father, I'm going to come and pray for those at the altar. Father, I ask you right now, Jesus, to just fill our hearts with faith. Lord, we're going to believe on the promises that you have given, the covenant, because we are heirs to Abraham. We are his seed. We thank you right now for your word that will change our season, that will take us out of despair, that will fix us on the path of righteousness. Lord, we just thank you. Hallelujah. Right now, church, if you could join with me in prayer as we pray for those at the altar.